In the gospel this morning, Jesus presents to us many parables. Each of them deserve their own sermon or their whole string of them. But I'm not going to try and do all those parables in one sermon. We'd be here for a while. The one I will focus with you on is the parable of the wheat and the weeds, which seems to be the main focus. Jesus is assuring us from the beginning that there is a real difference between the wheat and the weeds in this parable. To begin to unpack what he is communicating to us in his Holy Scripture, we have to look at that word weed. In the Greek, the word used for weed here is a word called darnel. Now, if your name is Darnell or you know a Darnell, I apologize, I'm not picking on you, but the word darnel refers to a poisonous plant that in its early stages of growth looks almost exactly like a sprouting of wheat. And even though they look very much alike at first, when they ripen in the end, and if you tried to eat the darnel weed, it will make you very sick, and if you eat too much of it, it could kill you. Whereas wheat, if you consume it, provided you're not allergic, will strengthen you. So you can see what's going on with this wheat and the weeds being planted in this field, which represents the kingdom of God. One building it up, the other tearing it down. One poisoning the crop, the other one giving strength. And if such tender seedlings were both pulled up at the same time, both would be lost. But once the fruit of the poison is manifested, then it's time to remove it and pull it up from the roots. Similar to coffee weed growing in a rice field. If you try to pull it up as soon as it sprouts, you're going to ruin your rice crop. But once those stalks are above the plants, then you can go and wade through all that field and start pulling that stuff out and burning it and getting rid of it. In the same way, there are weeds and wheat growing alongside themselves in the kingdom of God. But Jesus doesn't leave them alone. To allow his grace to work, he transforms these weeds into moments of great wheat. What do I mean? Let me give you two examples. One of them being the beretta, the little hat the priest wears. I wore it at the end of Lent and during Easter. And somebody boudeed all around town, even to people outside of town, and it got back to me even this week. Ooh, Father, you're the one who wore that little hat. Somebody was so upset. They said, you keep fouilleting with that thing. It goes on your head. It goes off your head. You carry that in. Nobody else wears that. Why do you do that? Who do you think you are? I knew you when you were in diapers. And my response is, well, don't we all know a lot of people when they were in diapers? Does it make any difference, does it? I mean, a cop pulls you over because you were speeding, and he or she gives you a ticket, and you fuss with them saying, you know, I knew you were in diapers, or you complained to everybody in town. How dare they do that? I maybe even wiped their behind. Doesn't change the subject. Doesn't change the issue at hand. But there's something more going on there. So in response to this, we had that class this week on the priest's vestments. From the alb all the way up to the bishop's mitre. I hope said individuals were present. I have no idea who they are. But don't we often do that? We complain to everybody else, but to the one who could actually answer your question if you just ask. But how does Jesus turn this around? Well, first of all, where do all the vestments of the priest come from? Why do they wear that stuff? Well, it comes from the book of Exodus. Just as when the old covenant was established with Moses on Mount Sinai and they had to prepare the sacrifice, for several chapters, from chapter 28 on, it describes the garments that Moses was supposed to make for his brother Aaron and ordain him the priest of the old covenant. 10, when Jesus established his new covenant on the cross and his church was being organized in the first century. All of this stuff being fulfilled and brought into the new covenant, same thing with the vesture. And that includes coats, girdles, and caps. Why? Because they want to look good and impress people and tote themselves around, look at me, how important I am. No, it is for the glory and beauty of God. Because from a practical standpoint, neither does the hat or really any of the priest's vestments do anything. They have theological meaning, but especially the little hat that caused someone so much disturbance. About the only thing in it is the three corners referring to the Trinity. But as the same reason a policeman wears a badge, or a doctor wears a coat, or even a pilot wears a hat, do they do this because they're arrogant and trying to impose their own will on people and mean horrible cop, doctor, and priest, and somehow as a barrier to their service, and they knew they were in diapers? No. But in a time where boundaries and identities are so blurred and confused, the garments, even this hat in some funny way, reminds people there's a priest here, we're doing holy things. And believe me, I don't do it to look pretty, because even priests joke about when we wear it, and it's an optional thing. Some wear it, some don't. But we know human nature very well. If something's optional, it's just going to disappear. One of the beautiful things is the veils that women wear in church. It's a custom, but it's optional. And what happened when it became optional? It completely disappeared. Well, they're on a comeback, so this is arrogance? No. This is people trying to pray and do holy things for God, which in fact, here's the wheat amongst that weed. One day after Mass, when I wore it for Lent, in fact, it was the first Sunday I put on the hat, and I haven't worn it. It's the first time I started wearing it. An altar server approached me in the sacristy and said, "Father, that's pretty cool. I watched what you were doing. It came off your head at the name of Jesus, and you took it off when you stood up to pray." I said, "Uh-huh." That said the same thing when we all bow our heads at the name of Jesus. It's the same thing, right, Father? I said, "Uh-huh." He caught it. I didn't have to explain it to him. He didn't boudet. He said, "That's cool." He said, "You really have to pay attention to the readings and to the Mass to know when to put it on, when to take it off." I said, "Exactly, sir." Even the priest has to focus and listen and do these things to help him into enter Mass. He said, "That's really neat. Keep doing it." I said, "Wow." Wheat among the weeds. Another experience I had of wheat and weeds, it sort of eludes this point. This week I was out amongst the flock in Walmart. We all go to Walmart. We all have to go through the checkout line. It's one of those things we just have to do. It's human nature. Well, a gentleman approaches me and says, and I'm there in my collar. He says, "Father, are you a priest?" I looked at him and said, "No, sir, I just dress like this to pick up women." Silly question, silly answer. "Father, are you a priest?" He says, "You know, I really like this Pope Francis." I said, "Oh, really? Why do you like Pope Francis?" "Well, he's changing everything and making it so much better." I said, "What has he changed? I mean, he even says Mass facing with his back to the people." And "What?" He says, "No, I mean, you know, he's going to let the priest get married. You know that? He's going to change all these things." And I said, "Why would I want that?" He says, "Well, you're human." I wanted to say, "Sir, I'm buying toilet paper. Of course I'm human. What is your point?" "Well, you know," and he began to go on and on and on. He says, "Because, you know, that horrible Pope in Rome forces priests not to marry and forces you to be celibate so that the church doesn't have to pay for all the children you would have." I said, "Really? Is that why I've chosen this?" "Well, of course." I said, "Sir, you won't like the answer because it's too simple." "Well, why do y'all do this?" I said, "It's very simple. Jesus did it. so we do it. And I'm vowed to conform my life as closely to Christ as possible, and he was a celibate man, and so am I. Well, it still means that Pope forces you to be celibate. I said, just as the Pope is forcing you as a married man to have intercourse with your wife and raise up children, that mean, horrible Pope telling you to have babies. At this point, the cashier wanted to jump in and defend the faith as well. But he left, and I says, you know, here's some wheat from those weeds. I says, there's obviously a lot more going on in this person's life than my choice to be celibate. Whatever's making him uncomfortable, I don't know, but he obviously needs a lot of prayer. So we turn these weeds into a lot of wheat. And I ask each and every one of you to offer your communion today and your prayers in this Mass for this guy, whoever he is. I don't know, I didn't get his name. But obviously he was going through a lot of things to approach the priest in Walmart and wonder whether he was a priest and then start questioning all kinds of strange things. And didn't like the answer because it was too simple. So, interesting stuff. Which is why in today's parable, Jesus teaches us about these two plants that grow right alongside each other in the field. One sown by him and one sown by the enemy. We have the weeds, this darnel, this poisonous plant, as Jesus explains, which represents an unrepentant sinner whose first priority is themselves. And they use others to advance their own pleasure or boudet about everybody else in the world because they refuse to see their own shortcomings. Someone asked me, well, Father, was this man Catholic? I said, I think he was. And he said he went to Catholic school. I said, sadly, that might be part of his problem. But he said, but this weed use other people for their own advancement. And eventually just try to, they end up worshiping the God of their own obstinacy. And Jesus clearly states that an unrepentant person will end up in hell, this fiery furnace, where there'll be wailing and grinding of teeth. There's no need to change my life. Everybody else has to change. We have to change the priest and change the church and have my way or get rid of everybody else. Then there's the wheat, which stands for the righteous ones. Those who resist the seductions of evil, constantly are repentant of their sins that they know they commit daily, and battle against what leads them to these actions in order to follow Christ ever more closely. And Jesus says these will enter into the joy of eternal life, shining like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The purpose of this homily is to make you uncomfortable, because we'd want to put ourselves amongst the wheat. Oh, I'm one of the wheat, I'm not one of the weeds, and I'm set. But if we're honest, we know we live in a fallen world. And it's hard for us to resist these tugs of selfishness and sin that justify our own ego. We prefer to give in to the passions and to be mad at the world and point out all its faults, instead of using God's gift of human reason and our faith to bring about concrete solutions and concrete conversion. And where does it start? It converts with you and me, because this weed and this wheat is growing up in our hearts and our minds. And we'd rather pick and choose from what is easy, that which doesn't require us to go outside of our comfort zone. That way we can have compassion, but exclude the possibility of hell for our actions. We want personal choice, but not be responsible for when we sin. We can be irresponsible with the gifts we have been given, and then so see no need for repentance. Justify myself while judging others. In other words, we end up with the religion of relativism that gives me the excuse to do whatever I want in my life to the detriment of everyone else and turns me into my own God. A sweet and enticing poison that we will continually drink till we get sick and it will kill us, instead of submitting to the medicine of Christ, which sometimes can be bitter, but will strengthen us and bring us that salvation we so desire. And this is nothing new. Sin is so old. In fact, this is the trick the devil used on Adam and Eve in the garden. Nothing has changed. But if we recognize and allow God to transform us, He can take those weeds of our life, or these weeds of these two examples I gave you, and turn them into great wheat of His harvest. So until it is time for the harvest, let us cooperate with the movements of God's grace to transform the weeds that we can all turn ourselves into the wheat that we should be, and He wants to create in us, so that we can confer nothing whatever to Jesus Christ, and He can bring us to everlasting life. Amen.